He is Charles Gallant, user experience designer and impressionate impressionado.
Wow. He is Aubrey Goodman, engineer extraordinaire and folder of fun. It's because you fold things too.
Is that why? I like creases.
You could also be a folder. Anyway.
Like to contain documents?
Fun ones.
I mean, there could be fun documents. Such as the, I don't know, place where you found the URL for this show, which, by the way, is distilledradio.com. Welcome, folks, to this belated recording of Distilled. We have been busy, but, you know, that's how you do in this world. You can find Charles at Charles Gallant. There are two L's in Gallant. You can find me at Aubrey Goodman, as it sounds, both on Twitter, both sensible, respectable, professional-ish names. I try to say it with a straight face, but you never know. And yeah, this is a lovely little podcast we like to record here. Today we're recording in the back of a Muni bus. So if you hear any weird electronic sounds, that's likely the electric buses of San Francisco. And yeah, you know, this podcast is all about you know, classy, high tech.
Can't say classy without laughing, can you?
Can't even do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Not in this minibus.
No, not this. There's people, strange Chinese people looking at me saying, I don't know what, because I don't speak Mandarin or probably Cantonese either. Moving on, though. We love to talk about product design and technology.
That's
and,
right.
All things startup life, culture, and every now and again, superheroes. Mm-hmm. And this week, we're gonna be, I guess, normal, boring people and talk about the silly, awesome, beautiful, wearable thing that is digital and maybe not so heavy that you wear on your arm that measures stuff and you talk to it.
Also known as the Apple Watch. Yeah, we also like to drink when we do this show. That's also worth mentioning.
Yeah, that's the name. Mm-hmm. I would hope.
Maybe people inspires. Know that we're drunk the whole time. Mm. No, but basically...
Not the whole time.
It's an interesting device. And and we're going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. We have some thoughts.
Yeah. I would like to be wearing an Apple Watch throughout the duration just to measure. I want to see a chart of my...
coherence.
My bio...
Yeah.
My bio stats.
Sure.
Of this. You know, just like measuring things. Like I would love to see like a blood alcohol sensor because that would just go up like a ramp.
Yeah.
And then...
Wouldn't that be fun? Man, I would give a lot of money to learn exactly like blood alcohol levels across something like an audio recording, right? Mm. You know, like, hey, when Jimmy Page performed this solo on Stairway, how drunk was he? Because apparently the dude liked to drink a lot. I'm also a huge Zeppelin fan, so anyway.
Yeah.
But that'd be interesting to have. And I think, you know, insights like that are partly what, you know, we're sort of going for with this whole health tracking fad. And I think unfortunately, and we talked about health trackers a little bit in the past, and I think it's one of those things where the glamour of being able to see biometric data of any kind kind of outshines any sort of utility that it gives us yet, but we're still enamored by it, and that's enough, right? That's enough to get us to keep looking in where it's like, oh yeah, I did like something, whatever, I did, you know, 13,000 steps today. Like, what does that mean? Like, nobody really, you know, is that a normal day? Is that a crazy day? Like, it sounds like a big number.
Or is it someone put their Fitbit in a paint shaker and went for a beer?
Well, there's that too, right? So, you know, obviously there's a lot of gray area in how accurate these devices are. And so, you know, I think a similar thing's happening with the Apple Watch is my point, right? Like, we've got the ability to see all kinds of information, and it's really tough to figure out, you know, for someone who loves the Apple Watch, how much do they just love the idea of the Apple Watch and are therefore willing to accept whatever the Apple Watch gives them, versus, you know, actually thinking about how it may or may not be helping them in whatever way. Like, I know when I got my first health tracking bracelet, I was just enamored by the idea of it, and I forgave all of these little problems with it. There were, like, huge problems that, you know, were just totally wrong, and I ended up stop wearing it. I ended up getting rid of it after a couple of months, like every single other person who gets one of those things does. And the statistics are unfortunately, like, super depressing if you look into how often people, like, use those things on a long-term basis.
Almost as depressing as, like, New Year's
resolutions
for going to the gym. There's, like, 1 week spike, and then after that, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah. So anyway, it's funny. I think with every, you know, Apple Watch review, you kind of have to do this weird filtering as someone on the outside looking in, where it's like, look, how excited is this person just about Apple in general?
Yeah.
You know, how excited is this person just about, like, you know, the idea of an Apple Watch versus, you know, how critically are they assessing the utility that it provides, right? It's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like if Apple Watch measured Apple fanboy levels, that would be the most meta thing ever.
Yeah, and it's tough too, because that's part of the fun
just
too.
Be pegged, like,
yeah, because like, you can't fault them for that, right? Because like, let's say you are just forgiving Apple Watch for every little thing, and you just love it. Like, that's also part of it. There's something about Apple and that product that got you to do that, and they should be awarded for it, right? They deserve whatever positive praise comes out of that.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, that's a special thing, right? If you're so, I don't know if famous is the right word, but if you're so great as a product designer that you can get people to love whatever the heck you make, like, you deserve it.
I think that's a conversation for another day.
Okay.
The depths of that
fair
one.
Enough.
But I think we could weigh pros and cons on that one for sure.
Fair enough.
For another day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like it's a fascinating thing, because there's folks that we know who are wearing Apple Watch around the office here, and I see them do strange things, like sitting at their desk like they did all day every day for however long I worked here, and then they suddenly get this watch, and I'm like, oh, you're standing up now, because the watch made like a buzzy little like vibrating thing on your wrist, and
reminder.
Now you have to stand up like once, like 1 minute every hour for 12 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
It inspires you to stand up.
Yeah.
Which is very confusing, because we do this agile thing called a stand-up meeting. And so, like,
all right.
I'll see people get up, and they're like, oh, stand up. I'm like, wait, what? No, it's not time for that. We just had a meeting. What was happening? Yeah. 15 minutes ago, we had a meeting, and now you're standing up again. Why? I'm hopelessly behind.
There's that dual meeting for us, right? Yeah, but a phone could do that, you know. Yeah. Like a phone.
Oh,
could
I would
have.
Love to see a phone.
A phone could have done that.
Stand in the stand up meeting on my behalf while I'm actually working. That would be great.
that'd be a pretty fancy phone. Yeah, but I do like the idea of those activity reminders, you know, and little things like that. I think it's good. And notifications in general are kind of the first thing that come to mind with a watch, right? Because the whole part of the point is, you know, the idea of reaching into your pocket, taking out your phone, unlocking your phone, and looking at it. I mean, first of all, it sounds like a first world problem to paint that in any kind of negative light. But still, you know, some people would say, hey, because this thing is on my wrist, there's less friction, therefore is a more appropriate place for a certain type of notification, right? So the first, what was it? It was maybe it was Bloomberg or Business. I think it was Business Insider did a nice review where they said, look, the thing you got to do with the Apple Watch is you have to commit to customizing the notification preferences. And you have to commit to spending time really curating exactly how you want it to interact with your life. And once you do that, awesome, right? If you figured out the right balance of it, otherwise, if you figured out the right balance of what notifications you want to come through and what you don't, that's great. Otherwise, it's just going to be there and it's going to be buzzing constantly. And you're going to have the same attention overload problem as you did on your phone. And it's not going to actually solve any new problems. But if you can finesse that and get it to the right fidelity, great.
So I have two sidebar stories from that one. which I would like to share both of. A family member told me one time, she said, you know, you tweet like a lot, and sometimes you tweet at like 3 a.m. and I'm like, mm-hmm, yeah. What? Why are we talking about it? And she's like, well, because I signed up for the SMS trigger on your tweets. And she's like, I had to unfollow CNN because I just got so many text messages. I just overload. And I said, you know, two things really. You don't have to do that's not really. You're like way in the edge case here. Like,
yeah,
a lot of people don't do that. Those sorts of features are for people who don't tweet very often.
People who don't always have an internet connection. Like, all they get is just like,
yeah,
like that. That's a legacy feature of Twitter that actually was super popular when like no one had a data plan. Yeah, for the first
million users.
Yeah.
And she just happened to be in that list, apparently. And she's like, I had to unfollow CNN. I'm like, no, I think you just need to unsubscribe to the SMS notification. She's like, yeah, I didn't even. How do I do that? And I'm like, or you could turn like a filter on so that you only get the things between the waking hours, so you're not awoken by literally every single thing that they're like a whole giant, mm-hmm. like just all the time. Tweet, 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 tweet. Because it's a news outlet and that's what they do.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. So, you know, the big problem that Twitter has always been that signal to noise. Well, not signal to noise, but it's always been feed management, notification curation.
Notification curation.
And that's at the heart of what you're saying, right? Is that it's up to us as modern humans living in the information age to decide what gets in and what doesn't.
Yeah.
Right? And a problem that every single person in the world, unless you live under a rock or something, has to figure out a solution to is how often do I want to be sort of interrupted during my day with technology. And there's passive things that are designed like Twitter, right? And the non-SMS type of Twitter, which only exists when I decide to check it, versus like something like an incoming trigger, like a phone call or an SMS that is actively alerting me to something else. And people still don't really get that. But I think as a culture, we're still really bad at feed management, but we're getting better.
Because we started with like magazine subscription where it was like once a month. Now it's like once a minute.
Yep. Yeah, it's
that's a strange, very, very different. But same idea in your mind. You set it and forget it, but then you're annoyed by how frequent it happens, and especially when you have this phone on your phone on your watch. Like, that's just not even a sentence. You have this thing on your wrist that connects the technology, digital technology that connects you to the world, but it lives on your arm and it has this vibration feature. And you know, it's the big complaint that I hear about the Apple Watch is the notifications. It's like all those annoying notifications. This was a direct quote earlier today. All those annoying notifications you have on your phone, when you get the Apple Watch, they just appear on your wrist instead. And it's more annoying now because you can't let it go. It's not like a phone you might have sitting on a table. You feel every single one of them.
Yeah,
because it's connected to your bones.
And here's the thing. It's inevitable that like we would accumulate more notifications as we go through life, right? And in the information age, right? As we get more and more apps, as more and more services arrive, yes, of course we're going to get more and more notifications.
Because there's more signal.
Because there's more stuff, yeah. And it's if you have too many notifications in your life, what people forget is that it's your fault, right? that's something that you have chosen, you've opted into.
It's an opt-in, exactly.
Yeah,
I subscribe to that magazine, even if somebody walked up to my front door and sold it to me while I was drunk. And
it's a little different because that magazine isn't jumping off the coffee table getting you to read it. But still, like, it's still your decision. And it's funny how people like complain about the default set of notifications. Now, I still believe that the default notification settings are still hugely important for any product designer to curate, right? Because it's a really quick way to make everybody pissed off if you pick the wrong ones.
But it's also a really great way of leaving a lot of information unconnected.
Yeah.
And I know this is something you face every day as a user experience designer and trying to understand the level of tolerance that your user has. So I feel like it's a dance. You know, you install an app, sometimes it barrages you up front with a whole lot of choices. But I think you would agree with me that this is a bad idea. You want to get to content quickly, but you don't want to get to choices quickly.
Yeah, and the best apps, the best ones, always tell you why they're about to ask you for something. So the best user experience design for like enabling push notifications. You brought this up, right? Was, you know, telling you, hey, we're about to ask your phone for permission to enable this because we need it for XYZ. Does this make sense? Like, do you want to do this? If you hit yes, then you prompt for push notification access, exactly. Right? Knowing that you can't customize that default OS prompt that's just right. going to be a binary thing. But if someone taps no at that first thing, this is actually, you know what? Like, I've read this. I don't care about you even asking me. Then you totally don't ask them.
You don't
right?
prompt them at all.
Right? And so it's funny. In other words, the best apps and products are the ones that help you with all of this.
Yeah.
The ones that teach you, hey, like, we're going to, in order to use this correctly, in order to get value, you should really think about turning on these types of notifications. Twitter, for example, right? You know, a good experience on Twitter would be explaining to you that hey, when someone at messages you, that's a good thing. You should be actively notified of that, right? But, you know, subscribing to, you know, any new update on your timeline, right? That's not the idea. In fact, I don't even think you can do that with Twitter anymore to get like an active notification every time somebody posts to your home timeline. I don't think that's even a thing.
I think not. I think the carriers would have objected to that, if whether it's an SMS or a platform specific notification on your Android phone or on your iPhone. Apple and Google probably don't want a trillion messages. I mean, because Twitter is, I want to say, like a trillion tweets a day.
Yeah,
something
it's crazy.
Insane. So if you imagine each of those tweets has some level of subscribership, even if it's a billion, just taking a comma out, a billion tweets a day.
Mm-hmm.
If all of the people who are tweeting have a number of followers and all those followers have a default subscription that is to alert them to everything on their whole thing with a push notification, we're talking about madness.
Yeah. Like, there's no way that exists.
This is like 100 petabillion, like many, like 10,000 billion. Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
Not petabillion. That's a lot.
Yeah.
But we're talking about a huge, it might be actually, I don't know. I don't want to think about the numbers. It's just so vastly, vastly unnecessary.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool though. I mean, you know, I think in general, like I said before, we're all faced with this problem, right? And, you know, products like the Apple Watch are in a way kind of a forcing function to say, like, look, if you want to interact with this thing, assuming you want to find a way to make it work, you're motivated to take your multi-hundred-dollar purchase and find a valuable place for it in your life, you've got to get really good at solving this problem. And I think that that's actually a good thing, right? Like, people are going to get better and better at this, and we're eventually going to reach a point where, hey, it's going to be kind of a standard social thing. Like, you're going to have to decide how much information you take in, just like you decide how many freaking cookies you're going to eat on any given day. My point is, you know, information overload is going to become just as ubiquitous of a thing that people understand that they need to regulate in their lives.
Yeah. Most definitely.
And
I find it interesting that we have this idiom that is like back of the hand calculation, or like, you know, off the top of my head, or, you know, the back of your hand is where your watch is. So you look there. It's a quick reference guide.
Is that where that comes from? Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so like, but what's really interesting is that normally people write their notes like on the palm of their hand.
Huh.
Yeah. It's a strange thing. Cause like normally like it's very actually like, ergonomically not great to put a watch facing outwards on the back of your hand. But usually the more ergonomic way of doing it is to put it on the face, like your palms. It's easier to look at your palm than it is to look at the back of your hand.
Yes.
Your elbow goes out naturally, and it's harder to
look at. That makes sense to me.
The twist in your arm is easier when it looks at you.
Yeah, makes sense.
So I find it interesting, like, two things. And I know I had said earlier that I had two stories to share, but maybe we'll get to the other story later. Because these stories are actually, I think, more interesting. There's like this sense that this ergonomics thing, where we have the watch lives or rests on the outside of your arm, mm-hmm. the back of your palm, your hand. But there's also this thing about tattoos and how tattoos, there was a big deal about this yesterday in the social media stream, talking about how tattoos are starting to become like a huge problem for Apple Watch owners. Because like the tattoo itself is like interferes with the way that they measure your heart rate. They use a laser basically to illuminate the blood inside your body and then look at that.
I'll be damned.
With another sensor. It's a very low power laser, not the kind that they use to, you know, take out satellites in orbit. Hopefully. Huh. But they illuminate your skin and then look at it and watch the rhythm of it, and that's how they measure your pulse.
Right, so they're looking at very small changes in skin tone color, is that right?
So if you have a tattoo, it's opaque ink. So it blocks that light, and it can't get through, and now you have like a weird pulse.
Weird.
You seem like less alive somehow. I would feel like maybe people with tattoos are more alive, which is strange.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I actually hadn't heard about that problem. That's interesting. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like, it reminds me a bit of, somebody told me that they were very upset at the first iPhone that came out because they had very long fingernails and they couldn't touch the screen because the capacitive, you know, touch doesn't actually extend to your fingernails, and they felt like they were being discriminated against by Apple. They felt very upset by that. You know, I can imagine you know, people with fingernails is, you know, roughly that long is roughly the same size, if not larger, than the set of people with tattoos over that very specific part of their body. But either way, too bad for them. Yeah, I don't know.
But it's not even, I don't think it's a too bad for them. I think it's a lack of user research.
They should be able to get around that, though. You know, I feel like that's one of those news stories that like two or three people had that problem, and then it becomes a worthy news story. It was like, oh no, Apple didn't consider this whole thing. When really, in practice, it's not that big of a deal. And you know, I bet they should be able to solve that with software, right? You know, like you look for fluctuations in color, no matter how small, right? It's just there's a little bit more noise on that particular signal, so
yeah,
you can still probably get a pretty good estimate of what's going on, right?
Yeah, you look at that person's Spotify account, and you make sure how many songs, like punk rock songs, have they liked or favorited on their Spotify account, and you just ramp up the voltage of this the illuminator to get through the tattoos that are inevitably on their arm.
I guess.
Or maybe you just use like in the moment things where it's like, oh, I can't get through, I can't get a signal, or I like my signal is low. Just back to the notification thing, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
My like the noise is too high, I need a filter. I need a better filter.
It's sort of the same thing. It's a bit of a stretch, but yes, I see what your point is. There is a signal to noise ratio. Yeah. Is there,
the dynamic is the same.
Yes, 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 yes.
So either you measure or you express preference. You like there's the I have tattoos checkbox.
Oh man, it's a great thing, right? Watches are miracles, right? Watch it like the little electronics, the gears, right? Such an amazing thing to have work, and they tell time and they stay in shape. I mean, I watch this guy on YouTube. He's called the Engineer Guy,
yeah.
And if you ever are bored. Do a YouTube search for Engineer Guy, or maybe The Engineer Guy, and he's basically breaks down these otherwise mundane aspects of everyday life and the engineering that went into him. Mm-hmm. And he does a little bit on quartz and why it's able to, you know, vibrate at consistent frequencies mm-hmm. when introduced to a charge, and how it just like totally revolutionized the way that we measure time. And it's like totally essential for every piece of computing to work everywhere, right?
Yes, and, clock cycles for sure.
Yeah, clocks, exactly. Like, every computer has an internal clock that's just, like, totally essential. And anyway, I love mechanical watches, and I think it would take a lot for me to go purely digital, just because there's a certain miracle of engineering and mechanics that I don't want to get away from.
You know, I agree with you, and I feel like Apple has really missed the boat in this endeavor, because they went so far in the technology with the Taptic stuff and like the beautiful curved sapphire, like whatever, glass interface and all this wonderful stuff, but they missed the first principle of watches, which is you don't have to fucking charge it.
Yeah, here's what I would do. If I could build a digital watch, if I were Apple, I would make a beautiful, and this is crazy, you know, I'm not saying this is the correct move for Apple, but if I were in charge of Apple, I would make a beautiful regular watch, right? Had moving hands that totally worked like a normal mechanical watch, but the mm-hmm. back, like the face of the watch, the kind of background, would be that digital surface,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
So I could still make changes to all kinds of other stuff. I could do things behind the hands if I wanted to, right? Okay. But there'd be this extra layer behind it that was, you know, responsible for giving me some other layer of information that, like, could be very elaborate, could be not elaborate. It would obviously have to be covered by the hands of the watch. That'd be a complication, but still...
Minor complication.
If you didn't charge your watch, it would still be a watch, right? Yeah. But, you know, what it would be is it would be a simple place for you to remind you of essential stuff that was happening that you could easily reach for your phone to figure out, right? Like, there's no composing anything on your watch. There's no looking at maps. I don't need to look at a picture on my watch. I don't need to even... read a text message on my watch. Forget about it. Just tell me when it's totally essential to look at my phone, and tell me when I can totally not worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what I want out of a watch.
See, this is where we get into the complicated problem of multiple user systems and selling to a commercial market where you have thousands of different unique user types.
Mm-hmm.
There's a UX word for it that's escaping me at the moment. Persona.
Yeah.
You have so many different kinds of people who have so many different diverse needs and interests and environments in which they are using this technology, and you have to solve for the common denominator. And I think they're doing a pretty good job of that with the Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the people who are not in the 80 percentile are going to complain a little bit, because they'll say, well, for me, it blank, blank, blank. It doesn't blank, or it does blank, or blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. So there's going to be some complaining that happens outside of the 80th percentile.
Yeah.
But that's the nature of product development. We've talked about this before.
Yep.
You can't solve everybody's problems. I mean, you can, but it's really, really hard. And it takes an enormous, enormous amount of effort and time and research and dedication, and frankly one singular product can't do it. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this is how I'd like to close. The situation with Apple Watch is Google is missing out, because Google has this wonderful platform we like to call Android that is everywhere. There's Android in TVs, there's Android in cars, mm-hmm. it's in phones, it's in everything that you interact with. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a microwave somewhere
yep.
that runs Android.
Sure.
But they haven't even started to come up with anything that even resembles a competing product here. So to me, it feels like this is a very big opportunity for Google to be slower and say, you know what, we wanted Apple to go ahead and do their silly watch and whatever, and eventually we're going to come in there and we're going to say, you know what, this is actually a better
there is an advantage to the follow-up, right? Like you see the thing come out, you see what works and what doesn't, and then you respond. There's some value in that.
Yeah. But yeah. I feel like Google is too focused on self-driving cars to think about watches.
Oh, I think they have the volume to figure that out. I think so too. I think there's some folks somewhere in a room.
Yeah, much like this one, very small.
trying to figure out what the answer is. You mean the back of this minibus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you not have a party room at the back of your minibus?
No, I don't.
No, the 38. It's unforgiving. I always like to think of that the back half of the bus. You know, there's like the pivot. The back half of the bus is like the party bus. The The front half is where all the old people stay. They don't make it farther than the pivot. They get seasick or dizzy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I definitely don't, but somebody does somewhere.
Somebody.
And that person is probably looking at their watch right now saying, when are you guys going to stop fucking talking? Because I already got to work. I have a 27-minute commute, and you've been making me sit here listen to you for 3 minutes in the parking lot. God bless you for sticking it out.
Mm-hmm. Have a good day.
This has been Distilled. We love you. Thanks for listening.